From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Don McElroy believes humans shared the planet with dinosaurs. McElroy is a dentist in Texas and what he calls a young Earth creationist, believes the Earth is just as old as the Bible says it is. Here he is on Stephen Colbert's show on Comedy Central. Colbert is asking him about the dinosaur thing.
That's my personal view. We don't.
No, but it's your personal scientific view.
Absolutely.
Okay, your personal. I agree with you. Science can be a personal choice.
McElroy is getting attention because he was a very influential member of the Texas School Board, charged with deciding what students should or shouldn't be reading in their textbooks. The filmmaker Scott Thurman has produced a documentary that profiles the efforts of conservatives and creationists like McElroy to influence public education. It's the latest in our documentary series, Through the Lens. The film is called The Revisionaries. We're talking about it after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. It's not hard to find an interesting story in the proceedings of the Texas School Board. Over the last several years, conservatives on the board have been trying to influence curriculum and the content of textbooks. And it's interesting, but this is not just an issue for Texas. The school board chooses the textbooks for nearly 5 million school children in that state. It's the biggest purchaser of these books. So Texas has a huge influence on the way textbooks are written for most all students in public schools across the country. The filmmaker Scott Thurman has produced a documentary that looks at the inner workings of the Texas School Board and the efforts of some on the board to change the information textbooks convey about history and science, including the way teachers handle the science of natural selection and evolution. Today in the program, we continue our series on documentaries by talking about Scott Thurman's film. It's called The Revisionaries. And we invite you to join the conversation if you have comments or questions. 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Scott Thurman is the director of The Revisionaries. He's worked as a news photographer. He's produced three short films. The Revisionaries premiered at the 2012 Tribeca Film Festival, where it won a special jury award for a documentary feature. Next week, we should mention, Scott is going to be in Salt Lake City during our Through the Lens screening, and we'll give you the details about that as we go along. Today, though, he's joining us from New Mexico Public Radio in Albuquerque. And Scott Thurman, welcome. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I want to begin with something that I know you get asked this question a lot, but I think it's a good way to sort of get into the conversation, and that is the relationship you had, or the influence anyway, of your sixth grade science teacher, because you've talked about mm-hmm. how that really gave you a kind of a different perspective or a new perspective in terms of looking at the world. Start there, if you would.
Sure. Well, I don't know necessarily if he affected me directly, you know, in grade school. It wasn't until after college that I started thinking about more about the philosophical implications of evolution, but he was the kind of teacher that was just an energetic, entertaining, you know, teacher that I think a lot of teachers should strive for to try to get kids to learn the information. There's a lot of dense stuff in science, but he made it fun, and I think that sort of stuck with me quite a bit, that interest in science and the natural world. And, you know, going to college, growing up a little bit, as I went into grad school in documentary filmmaking, I was interested in, you know, rational thought, sort of the natural world, and looking at problems and situations and finding, you know, coming to rational decisions, you know, based off of information we can test and so forth. And so I grew up in a really religious environment, and I had a good upbringing. And, you know, I think there are a lot of religious people that want to make evolution, you know, conflict with their religious beliefs. However, there are a lot that find it consistent with their views. And that sort of branch is called the theistic evolutionist. Yeah. So I was interested in college after that point at pursuing that relationship between science and religion, specifically the theory of evolution and the philosophical implications of it.
What do you mean by philosophical implications? What it means?
Well, I think that if we look at evolution and our natural, you know, history, we have to disregard looking at the Bible for certain scientific facts.
Yeah.
For example, I disagree with Don McElroy, who feels the Earth is less than 6,000 years old, you know, because of what the science tells us. So, you know, the joke that Colbert sort of made is that, you know, you can have personal beliefs, but when you have personal beliefs that deal with our natural world, mm-hmm. then you're making scientific claims. And so we have to, or at least I think that religious folks need to look at the Bible as more of a how to get to heaven rather than how the heavens go. I think that's a quote from a pope, actually.
Right. I guess the question is then, as you approached the idea of making a film about all of this, did you approach it as an advocate who was worried about the influence of conservatives and creationists like Don McElroy, or did you think of it as a sort of dispassionate journalistic observer?
Well, on I guess the most was probably caused by my concern about religious conservatives, but partly the second reason in that I don't have kids of my own, and so I could sort of watch the proceedings on the Board of Education with a little bit of, you know, removed from the situation a little bit, not as passionate about it as someone who actually might have a kid in public schools.
Yeah.
So I think actually that would be to my benefit, because I could follow someone like Don or some of the other far right people who I disagree with politically, but I was open enough to get to know them and actually develop really good friendships with the people I disagree with.
Yeah. Well, let's start with Don McElroy. We'll get into the particulars of the film, of course, but I think it's important to introduce some of the characters. Don in particular, and I think what's so interesting about him, Scott Thurman, is that he does not come across as a rube. He comes across as a likable fellow who's passionate about what he believes, mm-hmm. may lack a little bit of self-awareness, I guess, in some ways, but he was terrific just as, I guess, as a subject. And let me kind of introduce, because I want people to hear his voice. I read in one review Don McElroy sort of basically compared to Ned Flanders of The Simpsons.
Right, I've seen that a lot, actually.
Is that right? Do you think that's about right?
Well, I mean, you know. I would hope that people sort of see, yes, the kooky kind of funny side to him. He's a dentist. He talks to his patients about evolution and so forth. But
he's not a cartoon character.
I want it to be a complex character with nuances that you like and hate. And mm-hmm. depending on what side of the spectrum you're on, you see it different ways. And it sort of acts as sort of a dull or multi-message by just showing him who he is through the observational footage.
Here's a scene from at Don McElroy's office. He's a dentist, and he loves this opportunity, and he takes it all the time to talk to his sort of captive audience there, the patients in the chair, sharing his opinions, and in this particular moment about evolution and creationism.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Michael, you ever thought much about evolution? The idea that we all share a common ancestor with that tree out front? You ever thought much about it?
You know, not really.
Yeah, most people hadn't thought much about it. I think it's quite a big claim that people make, you know. I'm a skeptic myself. There's no way. Anyway. I think what we've done in Texas is unbelievably significant. It has to do with the definition of science. So now the debate's over, what's science? It's going to be in every single textbook. The kids are going to know what science is, and science is the use of evidence to make testable explanations of natural phenomena. Rinse out real good.
I love that part. it's interesting. You get a sense, Scott Thurman, you really like Don.
Yeah, I do. I developed a really good relationship with him, and, you know, it lasted about 4 years. It's still going.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about once a week, actually, now, and he likes the movie. He's got some issues with it. He told me he gave the science portion an A, and the history section incomplete.
Well, I think what's interesting about it is you must have established some kind of relationship because he is – I think you've described him, in fact, as – an open book. He is really honest. He doesn't seem to be pulling any punches when the camera's on him.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a true believer. And I think, you know, Ron Wetherington has a statement. The anthropology professor says, sometimes, Don, you're honest to a fault.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he was honest to a fault. And maybe that's, I don't want to sort of ruin the movie for anyone, but it certainly affected the outcome of his, you know, election, and being chair on the board during the science section raised a lot of eyes, and a lot of people started paying attention to it a lot more, and he lost a seat on the chair, and, you know, the rest of the movie, I think there's some nail biters.
Yeah, we won't give it away, I promise. Well,
right.
Let me play another moment here, because I found it, let's see how to describe this. I found it incredibly honest. The fact that he would let you into a Sunday school class, and here he is teaching fourth graders in his Sunday school class, and the topic for this particular day is Noah's Ark, the Ark story in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. in the Bible. And he's showing in this particular moment, this excerpt here, he's showing his students this cardboard model of the Ark and explaining to them how it could, in fact, work. And as you'll hear, he takes them out to a park to sort of talk about it, and you get a sense from this. In one hand, I guess, Scott Thurman, you could be really horrified by this.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it really conveys who Don McElroy is and what he really,
yeah.
really believes. Let's play this, and then you can talk about it.
Sure.
They actually show what it could be. You got storage on the top. You got the bottom deck would be all the poop, right? And the middle deck would be where all the critters live, right? And so then they could shovel all that poop down in there, right? And then Noah and the grains, so they could live up there, and they could go along the top maybe and just put some food in for the critters, all right? Make sense? Three decks?
Yeah.
Pretty smart to me. Pretty good design. People don't think there was enough room for all the animals on the ark. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I think there was.
You think there was? Let's go to the park. We're going to have some fun. Come on. What about dinosaurs? Were dinosaurs on the ark?
No.
Sure they were. We don't know. We'll have four cones for the four corners of the ark, and then we'll see how many animals you all can think of to see if you can fill it up, okay? Start thinking of critters. Think of all the critters.
Deer?
Deers. Oh, deers.
Antelopes.
Antelopes.
Caribous.
Zebras. Oh, man, here we go. Antelopes, mountain goats. What else?
Rams.
Rams? Okay.
Boars.
Ooh. And the pigs, the wild pigs.
And it goes on from there. That's a scene from Scott Thurman's film, The Revisionaries. So it raises the question of, you've said you want the film to have a kind, you don't want it to have a partisan point of view, even though you yourself have a kind of perspective. But you've said this,
yeah.
you've said the film was emotionally objective. Did you ever worry about that particular scenes or scenes like it where you thought in some ways maybe you were exploiting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much. I mean, we had that for a while, and the editor and I, who sort of co-wrote the story, tried to figure out the best place to put it because we just thought, oh, it's priceless material. We want it in the film, but where would it be most appropriate? And really towards the end is where we put it after you sort of got a sense of the complexity of his character.
Yeah.
You know, at church with his friends, he's hardline, Tea Party, young earth creationist. I think on the board with what he was doing, he wasn't trying to put in Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
He was trying to water down evolution. He feels like, you know, evolution's a bad theory, and sort of tries to work at the issues
right.
from a legitimate scientific political stance. But he's not a scientist, and part of the problem with the Board of Education is, in his Don's own words, is he says, you know, somebody's got to stand up to the experts. So, you know, there are a lot of really good things about Don. There are a lot of things I disagree and just detest,
mm-hmm.
As far as his, you know, animosity towards the theory of evolution, which I think is one of the greatest concepts, you know, we've ever come up with. And so I think that, you know, he's just, he's a complicated character, and I wanted to show all of that before revealing something like you know, the church, the Sunday school scene.
Yeah. That's interesting. So you put it toward the end because you didn't want it to be just sort of a simple-minded portrait of the guy.
Well, yeah, if you come in with that scene,
yeah, you're immediately influenced.
Yeah, we're putting so much of a, you know, a stereotype on him from the very beginning. Towards the end, when you see it, you're like, okay, yeah, I could see how you still, your jaw still drops if you're on the left, yeah, you know, on that scene. But you understand where he's coming from at that point.
But see, that's what makes it a documentary film, not just kind of a screed, is it's really, there are four profiles in here. The film is almost as much about Don as anything else, but there are others, of course, who are profiled. Yeah. But it's not just a this side, that side. It's almost a personal profile as much as it is anything else.
Right. Well, I saw a documentary called Hell House about a church in Dallas that was running a haunted house to sort of convert people to their church, their religious views. And it was done by a director named George Ratliff out of Amarillo, Texas, the same place I'm from. So I was very familiar with this movie. And the guy who shot it is Jawad Metney, and Jawad became my editor. So the documentary, what it did so well was it was all observational. You lose a lot of information in a completely observational film, but you gain a certain amount of sort of seemingly objective perspective, depending on how you edit, of course, because editing what we did in our film certainly reveals our political view or our you know, more left-leaning viewpoints. However, the observational footage just plays as is, and so people watch that. If you're on the left, you see something that Don does, and you may be appalled. On the right, it may make you proud to see what he's doing. And my mom's on the far right, so she saw the doc and loved it because, you know, sort of showed the far right winning. I very much wanted to do that, to sort of play it as it is, to let people see, you know, see the observational footage and let it play out as is. But don't get me wrong. We had a perspective. We chose to include certain things and chose to exclude other things because we wanted that perspective to come out more. And we wanted to show the lives and the day-to-day routine of some of the people on the far right, particularly I did, because I felt that was revealing of what they were doing on the board. Because on the board, there was a lot of code language and a lot of confusion. And the average viewer to see, the language inserted was strengths and weaknesses. We want to teach the strengths and weaknesses of scientific theories. Well, every single friend that I have on the left that I tell that to, they say, what in the world is wrong with, you know, a balanced perspective on anything? And it's kind of tricky in science, because it's not like you're comparing two of the same things. They're sort of apples and oranges. You have one that's a religious view and you have one that's a scientific view. And I just feel that religious views belong in church and science views belong in science class. And the way the board members were trying to get some of their views, the far right board members were trying to get some of their views into the science curriculum and later the history, I felt was so clever and such a good political strategy that it was hard for us to show that, to show the board meetings and for people to understand what the big deal is. There are certain things there that are obvious and you know, okay, wow, he's trying to put Obama's middle name in. I think I know what he's doing. He's trying to do there, right?
But we have that clip, by the way.
So much more tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Wait, we'll play it because I want to actually get into this because the film sort of heads in this direction, talking about evolution, and we'll talk about that and play some of those moments in the school board. But then it shifts direction and it starts to talk about social studies and history.
Right.
Yeah. Let me read an email from Nancy, who writes, I look forward to seeing the documentary. My dentist is the LDS version of Don McElroy. Every 6 months, I have the discussion about the lost tribe of Israel. And he says he waxes on philosophically while I get my teeth cleaned. Not fair. There must be a lot go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, after a while, people, you know, laughing at that so much during Q&As, I would tell them now we call that dental evangelism.
Well, what I think is so interesting about it is people must relate to Don in that way, whether they have him as a dentist or not. There are a lot of dentists
that,
right?
Well, 95% of Don's patients agree with him fully. So it's not like he's telling something somebody doesn't want to hear. But I thought it was a really interesting thing that he was a dentist. And it is sort of a humorous undertone sort of metaphor there that he's – giving people information that, you know, cramming it down their throat, they can't do much about it. And I mean, the role of a board member is to decide, you know, what the standards for K through 12 educational standards in public schools are going to be. So they have a lot of power, and unless the public and teachers and, you know, experts go and give public testimony, seems like, you know, they don't have much of a voice.
Scott Thurman is with us. He's the director of the documentary, The Revisionaries. Next Wednesday, that's January 9th at 7 o'clock, Radio West and the Utah Film Center are going to be presenting a free screening of the film. We're going to be back at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center, and Scott is going to be joining us. He'll be on hand for a Q&A immediately following the film, so join us next Wednesday. We'll give you more details about that if you go to our website, KUER.org. You can join us, 801-585-WEST, our email address, radiowest@KUER.org. We'll take a brief break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on documentary film. This time, we're talking about a profile of one of those hotly contested battles in America's culture war, the teaching of evolution in public schools. The film is called The Revisionaries, and it chronicles the efforts of biblical conservatives and creationists in Texas to change science textbooks in the school there. The director, Scott Thurman, is joining us, and the film is called The Revisionaries again, and he's joining us from New Mexico Public Radio. 801-585-WEST, the number to join us. Our email address, radiowest@KUER.org. Well, Scott Thurman, we should explain why this matters so much, because as I said a bit in the introduction, this is not just a story for Texas. I mean, it matters so much because these 15 board members have a profound influence, and in many ways they could have an influence on the textbooks that people are reading in other places outside of Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, as you pointed out earlier, because Texas is one of the biggest markets, what they do is they allow the state to purchase textbooks. I think it's called a centralized buying market. And we interview several publishers, sort of lobbyists for publishers that talk to us a bit about how that works on the film. But basically, they have a large amount of money, and publishers know that if they get their books passed by the Board of Education, who serve as sort of a gatekeeper for purchasing these books, then the state can purchase these books, and the publishers know if they get passed through the State Board of Education, they stand to make a whole lot of money because there are so many kids in public schools in Texas that get these books, but also throughout the nation, because publishers don't want to rewrite another book for another state. And because Texas is the largest market, they cater the language to that that system, and in turn end up giving several states sort of the leftovers. They give them the same books, just take the Texas edition off and call it the, you know, Arkansas edition or wherever else. We weren't able to grab specific statistics on how many books are going into other states, but we did see, you know, almost 75% of the other textbooks in other states come from Texas. So that number can vary, you know, but and especially now we're looking at some major changes on, you know, digital textbooks and things are going to change that a little bit. But also just other states, because of seeing what's going on with Texas, they're saying, no, we're not going to take those books. We're not going to, you know, be subject to those same policies that they're applying to the textbook review process. We want our own books. So it's changing quite a bit. But Texas still does have quite a bit of power.
Yeah.
And so Texans need to be concerned about this. People around the United States need to be concerned, not just with this issue. Maybe they feel hopeless, helpless. They can't do anything with the Texas Board of Education, but they can with their own boards. Texas is not completely unique in that there are a lot of people that approach boards of education to try to get their political philosophies in there, you know, for kids at a younger age.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, people around the country should be concerned with their own boards of education. Find out if it's an elected board, especially if it's a partisan elected board. That usually is a good sign of a very sort of contentious, politicized educational standard review process.
Let me play another clip from the film. This is Kathy Miller. She's another prominent character that you profile. She's a lobbyist and, I guess, sort of a spokeswoman for this organization called Texas Freedom Networks, which goes in and tries to kind of battle these kinds of efforts by conservatives to alter textbooks or diminish the idea of evolution that's being taught in the schools. And what's interesting about what Kathy Miller is saying here is she talks about this sort of broad strategy that seems to be in play by people who oppose the concept of evolution, by some conservatives. And in some ways, there's an irony here because it's been a kind of – the strategy has been a kind of evolution in of itself.
Right.
But as Kathy Miller says in this clip from the film The Revisionaries, they're really shaping – or wanting anyway to shape how kids learn. Here's another moment from The Revisionaries.
If you want to control and shape the politics of a state – controlling and shaping what students learn in public schools from age 5 through age 18 is a really, really smart strategy. And we have witnessed an intense focus on gaining that control by the far-right faction.
Do you think it's an actual strategy? Do you think it's a concerted strategy?
Well, yes, somewhat. I think that, you know, people like Don are sort of a little rogue. Whereas, you know, some of the other board members would talk about their amendments a little bit more. Don was sort of out on his own. That's sort of that almost loner quality of Don I really liked, and that he stood up for what he believed in, you know, and his own views. He wasn't willing to, in his own words, be a rubber stamp. But, you know, don't get me wrong. I think science is science and religion is religion. The two shouldn't, you know, be taught in the same course as I think he's trying to make. But, you know, I'm going to get a phone call in a week from Don, or maybe in a couple of days after he hears this, and we'll have it out again, which is always fun. I mean, yeah. I love the guy to death. I really do. I just think he's wrong for the Board of Education. But yeah, I do. I think it's a strategy. I think you see, you know, this sort of air of disbelief in scientific, or as if it's a belief. One, you know, you believe the scientific consensus on things, whether that be something, you know, like evolution or climate science. You see that in politics a lot on the far right, that there's just this idea that we should stand up to the experts and that, you know, we should have fair approach to education. And I think the politicians who sort of do that approach or that strategy, they know very well what they're doing. I think they feel as though that as long as it's and I'm speaking for them, I don't know, but I think that they think as long as the end route is good, that the means to get there, you know, you can do whatever you want. And, you know, I've heard some people on the left say, you know, they're lying for Jesus. That's actually a book. It's really good that, you know, talks about that idea that they're willing to do certain things that are not, you know, Christian ideal, you know, ways that they go about it, but they end up getting there to, you know, get God's word out there almost as, you know, missionaries.
Well, we should explain that the essential drama that plays out is in these hearings. the debates themselves. That you sort of let that play out. You know, you have people reflecting on what's happening in some ways, but we're seeing a lot of what's going on in these proceedings. The sort of the debates as they're going on, I want to talk about. I want to introduce another character into the story. Ron Wetherington, you mentioned, he's an anthropology professor at Southern Methodist University, and sort of his role has been to review the science. He's one of these scientists who's been reviewing the science standards. So he's speaking on behalf of evolution being taught in the schools, of course. And in this moment from the film, he is. Maybe you can set this up for us, because some of the conservative board members have enlisted the help of this national organization called the Discovery Institute. They're not Texas people. They came in to make the case that science teachers should be questioning evolution in the classrooms. Ron doesn't think much of them, but you want to set that up for us, just how this is playing out?
Well, yeah, Ron is one of the six science experts that were elected by the board. The Board of Education has 15 members, and they decided that they were going to they wanted experts to review the standards, okay, science experts, not just, you know, board members making new language and so forth. Actually, the language comes from science teachers, but it goes through this filter process of the board, amendings back and forth. Then the experts review it, and then they go back and they do more stuff. But so Ron was one of the six experts, and he was nominated by one of the moderate Republicans on the board. And, you know, several of the far-right Republicans, not Don, I should point out, but because Don didn't choose one. He stayed out of the selecting of experts. But two of the other far-right people had nominated, these guys from Discovery Institute, who are pretty much intelligent design advocates, public spokesmen for intelligent design. They were involved in the Dover case in Dover, Pennsylvania. Intelligent design was in a textbook, and some parents felt that was, you know, a religious view, and they brought it to court, and the judge ruled that intelligent design was in fact a religious view, that it was sort of creationism. As the scientists say it's creationism in a fancy lab coat. I think Eugenie Scott has stated that. But yeah, Ron Wetherington is one of the experts on the other side, sort of countering the messages and the testimony of these intelligent design advocates.
They are masters of deceit. They are masters at using rhetoric to say one thing while they mean something quite different. As in saying, we have no intention of introducing creationism into the classroom. They first start out by saying intelligent design has nothing to do with creationism. It has nothing to do with religion. It is science. All we say is the evidence shows that there was an intelligent designer, but we do not claim to know what or who that intelligent designer is. That is, of course, obviously transparent. That intelligent designer has to be the creator.
So really quickly, Doug, I wanted to say two things. First of all, what intelligent design is. Intelligent design is a concept that basically states that certain things in nature are too complex to have evolved naturally through Darwin's methods, that they had to have spontaneously, you know, been erupted by an intelligent designer, that an intelligent designer had made these things rather than through natural processes.
Right.
Now, the second thing I wanted to say is that we have to be careful that on the Texas Board of Education, in their battle over science standards, it was not about intelligent design. And, you know, you had mentioned earlier it's sort of an evolution of the creationist movement. We look back, you know, at creationism, tried to insert that in schools. It was ruled unconstitutional.
Right.
Then intelligent design came in 2006, I believe.
Yep.
That was ruled unconstitutional.
Right.
And so now the strategy from creationists has been to, water down evolution, place doubt in certain scientific facts that run counter to their religious views. So it's not necessarily the Texas board far-right members wanting to insert intelligent design, not at all. In fact, they were wanting to teach the strengths and weaknesses of scientific theories.
Do you think in any way, because I think this question comes up in the film, Is there any part of that where they may have a point, where the idea that alternative ideas aren't being included? Does that make sense?
Well, that argument can be made, I think, from the scientist perspective, and I'm not a scientist, I'm a filmmaker, so but from their perspective, alternate views are brought in through the natural process of scientific debate and peer review. And so there are multiple views. There are other theories, but they have to be testable, you know, and they have to run through certain criteria in order to rise to the top. And as Eugenie Scott, another scientist in the film, says, let's let our kids learn what is established science. Let the debating over what may be more controversial science, that happen in the scientific community where there's, you know, a particular environment and professional scientists and experts doing that. Don't let our kids sort of be guinea pigs for the frontier of science.
801-585-WEST is the number to join the conversation. Let's take a call. Jason is with us in Salt Lake. Jason, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
You haven't really gotten here yet. I used to be a social studies teacher, and I taught Utah history here in Utah for a while. And I always ran into trouble with parents when I brought up things that were contrary to the established, sanitized LDS history of Utah is. Like if I brought up the, you know, warts on Joseph Smith or Brigham Young or the history of the church or even Christopher Columbus, I was bound to get a phone call from somebody who didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I guess, what do you make of that, Scott Thurman, that when people see this, the particulars of your film, they see their own examples in their own communities, their own places.
Yeah, you know, there's a sort of a much larger national political on from the far right, sort of a doubt in certain scientific principles that run counter to, you know, certain people's religious beliefs. You know, and like the caller said, we haven't even touched on really the history, social studies aspect of this, where board members were maybe from more angles trying to put in their personal views, adding certain names like Phyllis Schlafly and National Rifle Association and other things that they want kids to learn about. And it sort of got into this naming of names. It's like, who are the most important people? And why do you feel like they're the most important? And it's just this messy, sloppy, last-minute insertion of you know, names and places. When you get down to it, when these board members finally have to make a vote, there's a lot of stuff that happens without expert review, and you know, the standards get written. Now, I should say that teachers, they have to teach to the standards because the kids are tested over certain standards. They call the standards the TEKS. Yeah. That's an acronym for Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills. And when you talk about essential knowledge and skills, you think that this should be more of a framework. This should be more of the bones for what teachers in local school districts add the meat to. And so the teachers can teach whatever they want. However, the kids are going to be tested over what the, you know, is laid out in these standards. And so the Board of Education has two, you know, powers, really, the control over the textbook, you know, passing or not passing, and also you know, writing the standards. So the publishers have to be approved by the board, but they also have to meet standards the board sets. And it's the standard process that the film covers, not the book review process.
Yeah. Well,
that's coming up now, actually.
Yeah, let's play. There's a montage here. In fact, we've made a montage of your montage because it's long, and we wanted to get the essence of it, where you're hearing these various school board members, as you say, making amendments to try to get their favorite language or favorite thinker into these TEKS. Here's another moment from the revisionaries.
I'm proposing that under number one, we delete constitutional republic and insert democratic society.
All those opposed?
That's how you write standards.
I guess I just have to say, you have to trust me on this, but I actually do teach political philosophies at the doctoral level.
The amendment carries 11 to 3.
I wish to reinsert the name Oscar Romero.
I would like to offer an amendment, a motion to insert the name
Hussein in between Barack Obama.
Explain instances of institutional racism in American society. All those opposed, the amendment fails.
We don't want to talk about discrimination. So there, these books, oh, we don't want to read these. My gosh.
I am ashamed of what we have done to the teachers and to the students of this state.
Board is open for the vote. We're voting on second reading and final.
And it goes on, and it really gets absurd at some moments, Scott Thurman. You have a moment where Don McElroy at one point is trying to replace the word hip-hop with country music. It's a really surreal moment in some ways.
Yeah, you know, I guess on a basic level, I just wanted people to see that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to record that and show that to people. And to a certain extent, that affects people tremendously. I should say especially people on the left. They see that and are appalled by the way educational standards are coming, you know, come to fruition. They just don't understand. They never really looked into it, most people. I hadn't before, you know, realizing, okay, this is how the educational standards are made in our state. And then to find out the national influence with textbooks was definitely something worthy of a documentary. And, you know, I approached this with an interest in science and trying to find a science teacher to do a profile.
Yeah.
But then started following the board meeting as they were reviewing the science standards and wanted to do sort of a dual political portrait thing. And that later came out, but in a different way. I was no longer interested in highlighting a scientist teaching sound science. I was interested in Don McElroy.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know why he felt the way he felt. What I wanted to understand him more, and I want the viewer to understand people like him more rather than to write them off as, you know, simpletons that are just hell-bent and, you know, wanting to put their religious views on everybody else. I think to a certain degree, maybe that's ultimately what he's trying to do, but there are a lot of details that are interesting about Don that, again, would make you kind of like him on a personal level if you disagree with him politically.
Let me read an email from Mitch who says, please remember to emphasize that the beliefs of Don McElroy do not reflect the beliefs of all Christians or Christian educators. And Scott Thurman, you essentially said that earlier on, that you know, people are all over the map on this, even people who are
religious. Don is a young earth creationist, believes the earth is 6,000 years old. There are old earth creationists who believe, you know, whatever the standard science is for the age of the earth, however – they think, you know, man didn't evolve from apes. And so there are a lot of variation of religious scientific views. And, of course, what I mentioned earlier, the theistic evolutionist, maybe Ken Miller, he's a scientist that teaches at Brown University who we interviewed. He's probably the most outspoken theistic evolutionist that talks about evolution and how the two can coexist. You don't have to be one or the other. And so we really wanted to show that portrait. We wanted to show the teacher at the first of the movie talking about that. But we do get that response from a lot of people, religious folks, that want people to know, look, Don doesn't represent all of us. And I think people know that, but maybe some people take that away and want to stereotype and sort of make Don's view all Christian views. No, there are a lot of different variations of, you know, scientific views through the religious perspective.
Scott Thurman is with us, director of the documentary film The Revisionaries. Next Wednesday, that's January 9th at 7 o'clock, we're going to be partnering, like we do, with the Utah Film Center to present a free screening of the film. We'll be back at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center. Again, it starts at 7 o'clock. Scott's going to be there. Scott Thurman will be on hand for a question and answer immediately following the film. Just go to our website for the details. RadioWest.KUER.org. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West and KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Back now with documentary filmmaker Scott Thurman. We're talking about his film, The Revisionaries. It premiered at the 2012 Tribeca Film Festival, where it won a special jury award for documentary feature. It's the film we're going to be screening next week. Scott's coming into town, in fact. He'll join us for a Q&A after the screening on January 9th. We'll give you the details about that later. Scott Thurman, let's talk about Cynthia Dunbar. Sure. She's another one of those people that you profile in the film. She's attorney in Houston, teaches at Liberty University. That's the university where Jerry Falwell, the university Jerry Falwell founded. I want to play a clip from Kathy Miller first, because she kind of puts, I think, Cynthia Dunbar in context. Let's play this moment from the Revisionaries. Again, this is Kathy Miller.
What's really interesting about the State Board of Education and this larger kind of idea of the culture wars across the country is Cynthia Dunbar. Cynthia Dunbar teaches at Jerry Falwell's University, attended Pat Robertson's university, so she's really kind of been bred in the culture war movement through her education. And she does clearly want to dictate what students are taught in public schools as part of her overall political strategy. So she really does embody that bigger goal for the far-right movement in this country.
So I guess the question was, what is it that Cynthia Dunbar and Don McElroy and others, what do they want?
I think what, you know, and I don't want to speak too much for them, but I think ultimately, obviously, what they want is a better world, right? They want to change the world, and they want to make it a better place if you want to get to the bigger, grand picture. And to do that, they feel like the best way to live is through Christ. And so they want to convert people. And I think, you know, Cynthia Dunbar says at one point, when you look at education, you can't let your religious views separate that from education or politics. She's very much in line with, I think, what might be sort of Jerry Falwell's perspective that politics and religion should mix, that they're impossible to keep apart. I think there's a little bit of truth in the fact that it's impossible to sort of separate your personal views from your political views. Two are often the same, maybe mm-hmm. more often than not. But I think you can look at political policy and make it, you know, first of all, constitutional, and secondly, be appropriate for everyone so that no one's rights are being taken away. Everyone has equal rights. And unfortunately, when we look at giving kids a Christian perspective, well, we're excluding, a Hindu perspective or Buddhist perspective or others. So, I think their big picture is that they want to save souls. They want people to live better lives according to them through Christ, and ultimately, however they need to do that, they'll do it. And it was through the public education, the State Board of Education, that Dawn and Cynthia and others have sort of taken their message.
Here's another moment from the Revisionaries. This is Cynthia Dunbar, and she's sort of reflecting back on her experience as a member of the school board, and she gives you a sense of what it is she's after.
I enjoyed my time on the board. However, it was a lot of work, and I did it as public service. And I like to step back and say, okay, I did the best that I could in the job that I was given in the framework that we operate in. But looking down the road, do I think that education, which is inherently religious, is something that has to be a primary secular purpose when that goes against the religious ideology of the majority of Americans?
Inherently religious.
Yeah, that gets a lot of gasps from the most festival viewers are left-leaning, so yeah, the screenings we've had at festivals throughout the last year have been, you know, a pretty jaw-dropping moment.
There's an underlying message, and you've referred to this before, but it's embodied in a moment from Kathy Miller again from the Freedom Network. She's the head of that organization. Goes around. She seems tireless, and it's a great profile of her as well. But she says something here that I want to talk about, because you went back to this point. Let's play it first. Kathy Miller from the film The Revisionaries.
voters in Texas have to become more aware of what's going into our classrooms. This is about the content of what kids in Texas public schools learn from age 5 to 18. It will change the face of our state for decades to come. It matters. And Texas voters need to understand the issues, know more about these candidates, and we would have a very different state board of education if that were true.
It seems an underlying theme, Scott Thurman. There's a moment, I won't say exactly what happens, but there's a particular vote that happens.
Mm-hmm.
20% yeah. turnout is all.
Right.
But it was a really yeah. critical moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just don't vote. We've got this freedom in America to vote, and so many people don't. I mean, a lot of people do come out for presidential elections and even, you know, higher offices, governor and so forth. But when you look at the State Board of Education, they're on the bottom of the ballot. And so often, a lot of the far-right members were able to get in through straight-ticket voting. In other words, people would come in to vote for, you know, another major office, a higher office, and they would just do Republican all the way. And that's when moderate Republicans and other sort of activists started finding the best way to counter the far-right message on the state board and in other offices was to promote moderate Republicans, who the far-right call RINOs, Republican in name only, as in they're, you know, they're getting these people in, sneaking them in. They have maybe more left-leaning views, but they fly under the Republican banner, is what, you know, the far-right would say. But so, yeah, that sort of was the political strategy from the left. And not to say too much, but it certainly has changed the State Board of Education in Texas currently, and maybe in the future more.
That's Scott Thurman, director of the documentary film The Revisionaries. Scott's going to be in town next Wednesday, January 9th at 7 o'clock. We're going to be at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center screening his film. Scott will join us for a Q&A after that. So we invite you all to join us. Scott Thurman, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Doug, so much.
Radio West is a production of KUER News. Our thanks to Taylor Almond, technical direction from Mike Anderson, the show produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.